Well, good morning. It's my great privilege today to share the word with you today. And I got a great word today that I'm excited to share because looking around the room, I believe that what I want to share today, some of you guys need to hear. Amen. All right? And I say this with love and grace, but I believe some of you guys need to hear it. Today we're talking about rest. Just say, would you say it with me? Say, rest. Doesn't that feel good? Just say, rest. Come on, say it again. Say it again. It feels good. Some of us desperately need to talk about rest. I believe this is a great word. And for some of you, the word rest, well, it's kind of like a four-letter word, right? Right. I mean, it is a four-letter word, let's be real. But some of you, it's like a bad word. You don't like the idea of resting. And this is a reminder that you need. And others of you, man, I got to tell you to stop resting. You rest too much, right? But for some of you guys, you struggle with this because it's hard to just sit down. It's hard to take a rest. It's hard to not do and just be. And so this morning I want to talk about that because some of us, we talk about rest and you think the first thing that comes to your mind when I say rest is you think vacation, right? Right? You think vacation. You think hot, sunny beach with a drink, with a little, you know, umbrella on top of it. I don't know what you're thinking of, but you're thinking of some sort of vacation. And don't you know that vacations don't always give us rest. That's not what it's all about. And some of us think that. We get that in our mind. We think, I'm really busy and I'm crazy and life is all over the place, but I'll rest when I have vacation. It's planned 6 months from now, right? And then I'll rest. But now it's kind of chaotic. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever had one of those vacations where you go on vacation and you come home and you got to go back to work or go back to life and you're like, I just need a vacation now, right? You ever have one of those where you're so busy and so chaotic, you're running around that you get back from your resting vacation and you're like, I just need a couple days to rest after all that stuff I just did. And that's what I want to talk about because here's the deal. You and me, we were made to rest. We were made to rest. I know that sometimes we feel like we need an excuse or we need a justification to rest, but here's the deal. God tells us we're supposed to rest. It's part of the natural rhythms of what we're supposed to do with our lives. And when we break that idea, we kind of mess things up. But what if God had given us a pattern of regular rest, a pattern that would keep us from continually getting tired and burnt out and finding ourselves to that place where we need a vacation? You ever feel like you need a vacation? Like, man, I gotta get away now. I'm so burnt out. I'm so tired. I'm so fried. I gotta get away. But what if God had given us an antidote to all that stress, all of that burnout, all of that mess? And God has given us this divinely inspired rhythm of rest called Sabbath. And Sabbath is a beautiful picture. We're going to look at it today. Jesus talks about Sabbath with a couple of these guys, and we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about Sabbath because this is a beautiful spiritual discipline that can really transform our lives, can invigorate our souls if we'll give ourselves to it and allow Jesus to be Lord over it in our lives. And here's the big idea. If you're taking notes this morning, the first big idea is this, that Sabbath was created for your health, so that you could enjoy the weekly rhythm of divine rest. Sabbath was created for your health. Now, some of you guys have heard that before, but over the time that God inspired this idea of a rhythm of rest, we kind of mess it up. I don't know about you, but when I look at what we do as humans, it's like you take good things and we kind of seem to mess them up over time, don't we? And Sabbath is one of those areas that I believe that we've kind of messed up. We see some religious dudes get involved with the Sabbath and they take the idea of what it's all about and they kind of rip the heart out of it and they take it from being something that was supposed to be good and they kind of mess it up. But this is a rhythm that God inspired, God divinely created from the very beginning of the created order of things. In fact, we're going to take it all the way back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 2, to look at the beginnings of this idea of Sabbath. And we'll get to Jesus' words in a few minutes, don't worry. But Genesis 2:1 says this. At the very end of the creation story, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested. Say, he rested. Yes. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, let me just say this as we step away from this scripture. First of all, we believe that to be the truth. We believe that God did create the heavens and the earth, that God is creator and all of the rest of us are creation, that he is the one that spoke everything that we know into existence. We might say it this way, that God spoke and bang, everything was created, right? We might say it a number of ways, but we believe that this is the truth, that this is what happened, that God is the one that created all things, and all things are created from him, all things are created for him. And so this is something that we believe to be true. But I've got lots on my plate in any given week, don't you? Right? We've got things going on in my life. I've got kids that got to go to baseball practice. I've got things I got to run to. I got to go to the grocery store. I got meetings to take. I got to be in the office. I got sermons to create. I've got all sorts of things I've got to do in my week. But every single week, I've got a lot of stuff. But I don't know about you, but when I think about what it took to create the heavens and the earth, my week wasn't that busy. Was yours? Right? You think about all the animals and plants and the planets and the stars and all the stuff in our created world. And I think about how busy my week was. And I think, man, my week wasn't that busy. I don't think any of us were because I'm not God. I know it's a newsflash, but I'm not God and neither are you. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you're not God, buddy. We're not God, right? So in the middle of all of our doing, sometimes we can get to thinking, man, my week is too busy to rest. And I think God gave us this reminder that, hey, dude, I created the heavens and the earth and I still had time to rest. Sometimes it's in our mind that we don't have time to rest, isn't it? Sometimes it's all up here that we don't have time. God created all the things of our universe and then he had time to rest. So in the middle of our doing, remember that God himself rested. And that wasn't just an errant detail. The Bible doesn't include that fact just as a random detail. God wasn't being lazy, right? He wasn't just like, oh, I'm just going to take the day off because I'm lazy. God was giving us a reminder. And the creation account itself reminds us that rest is not an optional rhythm. It's not an optional task. But we were designed for rest. And God has hardwired into the fabric of created world rest. And we ignore it to our own peril. And some of us, we do ignore this hardwired rhythm that God has created. And God modeled for us this idea of rest. And he calls that seventh day, that weekly rhythm, he calls it holy, which in the Bible means to be set apart from common use. In other words, God makes this day holy. He sets it apart from every other day in our week and says it's holy. Now, not just for himself, but for all of the created world to observe. Now, the word for Sabbath, the Hebrew word Shabbat, the Jews would still use that word, but it means literally to cease or desist. Right? Some of you have gotten cease and desist letters, right? So that means stop doing what you're doing, right? Cease and desist. And the Sabbath day in Hebrew culture was from Friday evening when sun went down until Saturday evening. And as the early Christian church began to worship together, they shifted that day of their day of celebration in that regard to Sunday morning as a reminder of the resurrected Jesus Christ that rose on the third day. But the scriptures relate that God has given his people a Sabbath as not just an opportunity to be with them, but a reminder of two great truths in the Bible. The reminder of creation and redemption. In other words, it's our reminder of the beginning and the new beginning of what Jesus did and what God did at the beginning of creation. And the scriptures relate that God gave his people that opportunity. It's a reminder for us that we need to rest. So we see it in the creation account in Genesis 2. But more specifically, when God's people are set free from captivity. Now, if you know the story of the Bible, the story of God, you know that God had a people that he set apart for his people. And as they went into captivity, they went into slavery into Egypt. There's a moment in time where they're set free. And we call it the Exodus. And the book of Exodus records this story. And God gives them a reminder of this rhythm that he set before anything else took place in the created world. And let me just say this. When we think about the law, sometimes we think of the law, the Old Testament, we think, man, this is just a book of rules. This is just a book of do's and do nots, right? And certainly there are commands in the Bible, right? We call the Ten Commandments. We think of those things, but the law is much more beautiful than that. And when we will realize that God gave his children the law so that they would know how to live life the best way possible, a life lived to the fullest, a life free from making the same old mistakes that humans always make without God's intervention. And God gave the law as a reminder for his people how to live free, how to live in freedom. But sometimes we don't think of it in that way. So God gave his people freedom, and as it recorded in the book of Exodus, he reminds them of this divine rhythm that he had created at creation. He gives them this law. If you have a Bible, Exodus 20, starting in verse 8, God says this. He says, remember the Sabbath day. Say remember. 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 This isn't something new. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock, not even your animals, or the sojourner that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What a beautiful thing this is meant to be. A day of rest. For some of us, that sounds like torture, right? For some of you, it's like, I got to sit down and just rest. But for others of us, as we're tired, as we're exhausted, sometimes I feel like, man, this is a great blessing. God says a day of rest, not just for you, but for your sons and daughters. Not just for your sons and daughters, but for your servants. Not just for them, but even for the foreigners that live among you. Even for the animals that live and work in your land. This is something that is for every soul, for every animal, for every ethnic group, for black and white and red and brown, for rich and poor, for male and female, for everyone that lives in the land. And God has designed this rest. So the Sabbath is put out there to remind his people to rest. But what happens is, what always happens with us sometimes, is that we'll take God's word and we'll get the big idea, but we'll miss the heart. And that's exactly what we're going to look at as Jesus addresses some of these men, is that the problem is that sometimes we'll do this. We'll take and understand the works of God, but we'll pull out the heart of God. In other words, we know what to do, but we don't know why to do it. We know what we're supposed to do and do not, but we forget that God has given us that not just as a list of do's and do nots. It's the heart of God that's missing. And when we pull the heart of God from the works of God, we find ourselves with dead and lifeless religious observance. And that's what Jesus wanted to address. And I think of it like this. Have you ever laid in bed? You know, you get your nice PJs on. Maybe you're like, you like the flannel pajamas. I don't know what you like. I'm not going to ask you the question. But you get your PJs on, and you get all covered in your favorite covers, and you got your favorite pillow. Everyone has their favorite pillow, right? Yeah. I know I do. If I touch my wife's pillow, I'm in trouble because that's hers. She loves me, and we share everything, but not her pillow. That's hers. But you get your nice pillow and maybe get your eye mask on. I don't know what you do at night. Maybe you turn on a fan or turn on the white noise or put on some soft music. I don't know what you do. But you get all snuggled in bed and you lay there and you can't sleep. You ever have that? Is that just me? Don't you know there's a difference between going through the motions and laying in bed and resting? There's something glorious about resting, isn't there? When you get all snuggled in and you close your eyes and you just fall asleep. My wife and I actually had a lot of struggles in this when we first got married because, I mean, I fall asleep like that. And she takes forever to fall asleep. And she said, what's the secret? I said, a clear conscience. She didn't like that answer. I didn't have a clear conscience that night. Couch was a little lumpy, no. But there's a difference between lying in bed and resting. And there so too is a difference between observing a Sabbath and understanding and resting in our Sabbath. There's something important about finding ourselves in that rhythm of rest and trusting God. See, to really truly rest in God's presence is to trust that God's got it. whatever it is for you. That I can rest on that day of rest and not have to worry about all the things whizzing around in my head that I need to be doing or I should be doing or waiting for me at the office or waiting for me at work or some other place. I don't have to worry about those things, that just for a moment in time, I can say, God, I trust that you are God and I'm not. I can trust that you've got this whole world under control, and I never really did anyways, right? I felt like I was trying to hold. God, the world's going to fall apart if I'm not holding it all together. And our Sabbath is our reminder that, hey, dude, you weren't really doing much anyways, right? It's our reminder of those things. And so that segues perfectly into what Jesus has an encounter with a couple religious guys in Luke chapter 6. And we're going to go quickly through this. Some of you are like, man, pastor, you're not even to the main text yet. Don't worry, we're going to go fast. Because I want us to understand what Sabbath is. Because Jesus encounters a couple of different men that don't understand it. They understand it differently. They've taken the what away from the why. In other words, they've taken the what to do away from the heart of what God intended. So Luke chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, we see these religious guys talk to Jesus, and it says this: on a Sabbath, while he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, his disciples are walking along, and they plucked and ate some grains, some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands to kind of release them. And some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them, have you not read that what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how they entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and gave it to those with him. And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. There's a lot we could dig into there, go to that whole story, but I just want to say this. The Sabbath is a gift meant for our good, not a punishment intended for our pain. And so very often we can get it twisted in thinking that the Sabbath is something I have to do, the Sabbath is something I've got to observe, and it's a punishment. I've got to sit on the bench and wait. And what Jesus is trying to underscore is that the Sabbath is a gift that's meant for our good. And its purpose is rest. It's not the divine, it's not some religious observance. It's not just a list of things that we check off. And Sabbath was never meant to do just those things. In fact, the Pharisees are famous for taking the commands of God and adding to them, saying, well, if God says not to do this, then we're going to, there's 4,000 other things that we're not going to do as well, just to make sure that we're safe. And those aren't necessarily bad things to protect ourselves from sin. But they missed the heart of what God was intending to do. In fact, Mark's gospel gives us a little more insight into this whole encounter Jesus has. Mark 2:27 says this, and he said to them, to another group, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In fact, read those words with me. Ready? Go. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it says the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for us. In fact, let me just personalize that and say, the Sabbath was made for me. Would you say those words? The Sabbath was made for me. God made a day of rest for you and for me to rest. It was a gift from God intended for our rest, not a curse. But some of us think that way. We think, God, why are you making me sit down? I got so much to do, right? God, I got a to-do list as long as, you know, the state of California. Why are you making me sit down? And there's something important about resting. God gave this as a gift to us as humans. He didn't do it to make it some form of slavery for us to just have a list of things to do. It's a blessing. You'll recall that God blessed the Sabbath. And our command is to keep it holy. It's already holy. But after this encounter, we see Jesus talking to another group of Pharisees about the Sabbath as well. And it continues in verse 6. And Jesus says this, on another Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. He had a physical ailment. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so they might find a reason to accuse him. Let me just say something. There's people around us that sometimes will just be there just to look for excuses. They're looking to accuse us. It happened to Jesus. It'll happen to us. But I don't even know why I want to say that, but that's the truth. We got to watch out for that. But this is what happened. Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, he said, come and stand here. And he rose and he stood there. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at all of them, obviously they didn't say anything, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they, the religious Pharisees, were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Those religious guys were just waiting and watching for something that Jesus would do that would go against their traditions. Notice I didn't say that would go against the command of God, because, of course, we believe Jesus is God. And Jesus is the one that was involved in inspiring the Word of God and the Old Testament writing as well. And he is the Word. That's a name given to him. Jesus is the Word. So he wasn't disobeying God's Word, but he was going against the grain of their traditions. In other words, they had said, well, we won't do any of these things. God said, don't do this, but we're not going to do any of this stuff. And Jesus was continually poking at those things because they missed out on the heart of what God intended. See, Jesus never breaks God's commands. He was without sin in his time on earth and in his time after. He's without sin. But he did often break the man-made commandments, the man-made traditions of the Pharisees. Because they see the Sabbath not as a blessing of God, but as a curse they could use to control the people, as something they could use to judge the people and fleece the people with. And that's not a good thing at all. And Jesus says these words, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, this is a blessing of God for us, not a curse for us. And Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Over and over again, we see Jesus observing the Sabbath and getting away to be with the Father and having these moments of rest and really being with God's people on the Sabbath to worship. And he did rest and spend time with God's people on his day of rest, drawing closer to God and building relationships with those around him. By the way, being part of a local body of believers is not really an optional part of our faith. I say that as a blessing, not as a curse. We see Jesus doing that. That was his custom. He would hang out in the synagogues with the people on that day of rest. And Jesus observes the Sabbath. We see it over and over again. I could look at a bunch of scriptures, but for time we won't. There's a number of scriptures we see Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath. So he observes the Sabbath in his life, but he also observes the Sabbath in his death and in his resurrection. What do I mean by that? See, Jesus was crucified on the day of preparation. And as he died on the cross and was taken down from the cross, they entered into the day of Sabbath, the day of rest, and Jesus rested in the grave. And he was raised from the dead on that third day after the day of Sabbath. And so even in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we see him observing the Sabbath, resting on that day. And the Sabbath is our reminder of God's goodness and grace. It really is. This is a huge thing for us to understand because Jesus rested. He rested in his life. He rested in the grave on that day of rest. And you know, the Jews actually have a whole day dedicated to the day before Sabbath. They call it a day of preparation. And I love this because it turns out it takes a lot of work to rest. Did you know that? Come on, it takes a lot of work to rest. I got to prepare myself. I got a lawn that's got to get mowed, and you got laundry that's got to get done, and a dishwasher that's not going to empty itself yet. Come on, Jetsons, where's my self-washing dishwasher? I'm waiting for that. But it doesn't happen, so I got to prepare myself to rest. And this is a huge thing for us to understand because God has given us rest for our good. It's a reminder of God's goodness and grace. And Sabbath is about rest. It's not just about recreation. It's not just about laying around on the beach, although sometimes that's just what the doctor ordered, right? Sometimes we need to rest. But And this is where I may get into trouble. Some of you hear that and say, Pastor, stop talking about recreation. But our Sabbath is not even just about a day of recreating. It's not just meant to be a day of recreation. But it is an important thing to do. Sabbath is an invitation to rest. It's not an invitation to break some of the other commandments and live with gluttony and just lay around and be lazy, right? But it's an invitation to rest. And there's something important about us learning to rest. Because rest and recreation are not always the same things. Again, don't you know that you can recreate without resting? I love going to theme parks with my kids, but I'll tell you something, I'm tired after I come home. It's not really restful. That's recreation, but it's not rest. You know what I mean? You can do a lot of things that are fun, that are filled with adventure, that are filled with whimsy, that are not rest. And so it's important that we have a day of rest, because those doings can have the opposite effect of rest if we're not careful, and they can drain us. They can drain our soul. They can drain the energy out of us. So you should, you'll never need a vacation that requires another vacation. That's not a rest. That's not a Sabbath of rest that God desires for us. So Sabbath is about rest. It's not about recreation. Sabbath is also, it's a symbol of our salvation. The book of Hebrews gives us this great picture of what Sabbath is all about, and says this in Hebrews 4:9. It says, "So then there remains a Sabbath of rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered into God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." See, the Sabbath of rest is our reminder. It's a symbol of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Because everything within us, everything within me, says, God, I'm going to work hard so that you'll accept me. Everything within the heart of man, the idea of religion, that man, if I work hard, God will accept me. If I work more, he'll accept me more and love me more. But that's what the religion says, but grace says the opposite. Grace says I'm accepted because he loves me. It doesn't say he'll love me if I do all this stuff. It says he loves me first. And so now I can do all the works of God without feeling like I got to perform for God, because he loves me first. That's the difference between the way of grace and anything else. Now, I'll just say this. My wife was going to be here today. She's sick. Be praying for her and my boys. Having a household filled with sick boys is never fun. But I am married to the most amazing woman on the planet. She is. Anyone who's ever met her and me, they think, man, what did you do right to get her? And they look at her and think she's a little crazy, but for marrying me. And I'll just say this. When I married my bride, I made vows to her before God and man. I made vows to love her in sickness and in health, to care for her no matter what, to serve her and lay down my life for her as Christ laid down his life for mine. I made vows before God that in essence are like a law to our marriage, that say, man, that's what I've committed before God and man to do. But let me just tell you something. I don't need a law to tell me to love my wife. I don't need a vow to hold me in check to say that I'm going to do those things, because it's not very hard to love that lady. She's amazing. Now, her end of the deal might be a little harder to hold up, but my end of the deal is pretty easy to love her. See, it's not a vow that holds me into loving my wife and to laying down my wife. It's my love for her. And in the same way, I believe there's some of us have an idea of serving God out of an obligation to perform for him. And God says, I want to change the way you think about that. I want to change the way you focus on all of those things. See, through Christ, we fulfilled the entire law of God. By faith in Jesus, we're made righteous before God and declared with a right standing before him. We don't have to earn our way into God's graces. All we've got to do is receive his love. It's already there. Just as the song we sang about his love that pursues us even when we're running away, even when we're building walls and climbing mountains and going into dark corners, he pursues us and finds us. See, it's not a have to do, it's a get to. I don't have to love my wife, I get to. And so the question remains this, well, how do I learn to enjoy the rest that God has for us? I want to give you a couple just quick things just by way of story. And I would encourage you, wherever you're at, to either begin or begin again or continue in this spiritual discipline of Sabbath, of taking a day of rest, not just as a religious exercise or some crazy legalistic way, remembering that Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But you would set aside a day for you and your family and your animals and your servants and everyone else. You might not have servants in the way that we think of that, but you'd say, I'm going to set aside a day that no one waits on me, that I don't do all those normal things. That you'd set aside a day, that you'd set aside the normal, ordinary work. For some of you, that's going to be Sundays. I'll just say, as a pastor, as many of you can guess, I've got a lot of things going on Sundays. It's not a day of rest for me typically on Sundays. And so for me and my family, the rhythm of life that we're in, we found I'm able to take Thursdays and Fridays off. And so I'll just give you a practical what that looks like. Thursdays for me is a day of preparation. What that means is I mow the lawn on Thursdays. I'm out there pushing the lawnmower around and picking the weeds and doing all the yard work. We're doing all the projects around the house so that when that Thursday night comes, I can rest and I can create that day of Sabbath rest. And that's what it looks like for me. For us, that day of rest means that, man, my phone is on airplane mode and it's locked away somewhere and I'm not going to look at it. The emails, they'll still be waiting for me when I come back for them. It means that, man, I take all the stuff that I've been carrying, trying to hold the world together, and I set it down at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I believe that you're in control for just this day. I'll pick them back up tomorrow. No, but I leave them there. I lay it down. Practically, since we've got little ones, we want to make a big deal of this, and we've ripped off some ideas from the Hebrew culture and Hebrew traditions that we love, and we're not ripping them off. You can rip them off, too. One of them is this, that Thursday night when we have our meal entering the Sabbath, we light candles at our dinner table. The boys sing a special song, and we have a great time, and for them, it's a visual, visceral reminder that the day of chaos has ended and the day of rest has begun. That mom and dad aren't going to be checking their cell phones or looking on the emails or doing any of the work that they've got to do, that it's time for us to enjoy God and our family and the created world he's given us and just to rest. They love it. They love it. And there's another tradition that we've stolen, and I love this one. When I heard it, I thought, man, that's for us. And in Hebrew culture, very often on the Sabbath morning, the head of the household, the father, would wake up early with the children and he'd scoop them a scoopful of honey and give to each of his children a spoonful of honey to remind them of the sweetness of God, to remind them of the sweetness of God's faithfulness, of his rest, of his Sabbath, that they would remind it. So for us, any of you know us, my wife is Danish and she loves to do all sorts of stuff. So we have Abel Skiver with these amazing breakfast pastries that are amazing. Tanya knows what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And my boys say, it's Abel Skiver! And they love it. But we do this. And it takes a little bit of work for us to do that, but it's a restful thing for us. And for us, it's a reminder that we can just rest. We can be reminded that we don't have to work hard for God's love and his grace. We simply need to receive it. And we can enjoy that. Resting is our admission that God is in control. Even when we feel like we should be in control, we want to be in control, we remember that he is. It's our admission that God, he's got this. This morning, in just a moment, we're going to receive of the Lord's table. We're going to take of communion together. And communion is our other reminder that God is in control, that our salvation is not earned, only received. And some of you need to be reminded of this truth. I want to read Psalm 46:10. The Lord says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Some of us need to slow down a little bit with all the chaos and all the stuff going on in our lives. And remember that you and me, we're not God. He is. And sometimes the only way we can be reminded of that is to still our chaos for long enough, to quiet the noises for long enough and silence the phones for long enough that we might be still and know that he is God. And if we will do that, I believe the blessings of God come along with it. Because you and I were designed to rest. And we can only rest if we trust that God's in control of all the rest. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that today you're reminding us that no matter what sort of struggles we face, that you are in control, that no matter how hard our week has been and what things are waiting for us at home or at work or somewhere else, we can be reminded that we don't go alone. That no matter what struggle we face, God has got this. He's got it. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world under control. Be still and know that I am God. He whispers to us today. Church, I pray that you would do that, that you'd receive that today. Will you receive that? Will you be still and know that he is God? Will you rest and trust that he's got the world in his hand? I would encourage you to be still this week, this day, this moment, trusting that he is God. Let's just be still for just a moment. God, we trust you. We trust you that you are in control. That no matter what waves may crash around us, no matter what chaos happens in our lives or around our lives or in the midst of our situations, that you are God. That you love us unconditionally. That you care about our needs. And Lord, this morning, as we're about to receive of Holy Communion, I pray that you'd remind us of the truth that we don't earn it, only receive it. As we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we're reminded of your body that was broken for us, of your blood that was poured out for our sins. Before we receive of Holy Communion, maybe you're here today thinking, man, I need that love of God. Communion is our reminder that Jesus died for our sins in our place, that his blood was poured out that our sins might be forgiven. His body was broken to make us whole. But it's for those of us who have already put our trust and hope in Jesus, and perhaps you're here today within the sound of my voice and you've never done that. You've never received the love of Jesus Christ. You've never said yes to him. This morning, I believe the Lord may be calling some of you to receive that free gift of grace and mercy. And I don't ever want to leave an opportunity without giving you that chance to say yes to Jesus' free gift of grace. You don't have to earn it. You just have to receive it. So if you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made that step of faith, you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you've never put your trust in his saving work on the cross, with every head bowed and eye closed, really in prayer for you, if that's you today, would you just lift up your eyes and lift up your hand and let our eyes meet that I can agree with you in prayer. And I won't call you down front or do anything weird. I just want to agree with you if that's you. I want to make a space for you. Anyone here within the sound of my voice today? Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you that your mercy is new every morning. That no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, you love us. We thank you, Father, for that grace. In Jesus' name. This morning, church, we're going to receive of communion a little bit differently than we normally do.